Damn it, what's your problem? I curse at myself in the mirror, applying my morning lipstick. What the hell are you doing living in your sister Trisha's ultra-modern, soulless Venice condo? Or New York-style live-work loft, as realtors like my sister call it. You're 27 and you still don't even have a place of your own. As I brush my long brown hair that cries out for a stylist's scissors, I recall what made me move in here 2 years ago. I was renting a small studio apartment in an undistinguished Mar Vista apartment building, the rent made manageable by its location one block from noisy Venice Boulevard. The owner lived on the ground floor. She was a born-again Christian, and she made sure everyone knew it. One evening, I had a surprise visit from Juan, a fellow ex-student at Santa Monica College. We hadn't seen each other since we graduated, and he had moved east. He was a handsome guy whose parents had brought him from Mexico as a baby. He had a black drooping mustache and long matching hair. He was gay and very popular at school. We had become friends in our junior year and done lots of fun things together. He was only in town for 24 hours, and that evening we consumed a pizza and two bottles of wine between us. At the end of the evening, he decided that he had had too much alcohol to drive his rental car back to his hotel, so I offered him my bed and slept on the sofa, which was too small for him. Early the following morning, we were awakened by a continuous ringing of the doorbell. Slipping a coat over my nightshirt, I opened the door to find the enraged building owner eyeing me and Juan, who was looking up sleepily from my bed. "Miss Carter, I told you when I rented you this studio that I did not allow any illegal activities." Indignation made her puce in the face. "What are you talking about?" I was genuinely confused.
"I won't stand for any immorality in my place. You can't bring Johns here, no way."
"Johns? What are you talking about? What makes you think Juan here is a John?"
"It's obvious. He's Mexican."
"And what's that got to do with anything?" I was beginning to get as heated as she was.
"You're white, aren't you?"
"So?"
"Well, he's not. Must be a paying client."
"He's a friend, for Christ's sake."
"Don't you take the name of the Lord in vain." "A friend, very likely."
"You don't know what you're talking about. Besides, he's gay." At this remark, she turned apoplectic.
"That does it. I don't tolerate perverts. You've got till the end of the month to clear out."
"Are you serious?"
"You bet I'm serious. You'd better be out by the 31st or your belongings will be out on the sidewalk."
"What a pitiful bigot you are," I shouted and slammed the door in her face. I had only 10 days to find a place I could afford, and there was nothing on the west side available at that price. So I put my pride aside and asked Trisha if I could temporarily move into her place.
"You can have the spare bedroom and bathroom for $1,200 a month," she answered.
Money always did come first with her. I see money as a means, not an end. But a means to what? Self-fulfillment? Independence? Especially from Trisha? I've never had to answer that question because I've barely gotten by with poorly paid part-time jobs. Trisha and I share the kitchen and living room, with difficulty. Our problem isn't just traditional sibling rivalry, although there's been plenty of that. We're such diametric opposites that we disagree about almost everything, down to how to tie shoelaces or mix a drink. She's all wham-bam, make it happen the way you want it to. She just can't stand my more deliberate approach, what she calls my passivity. It's been this way for as long as I can remember. Although my sister is barely 2 years older than me, she's always treated me like a naive child. From the start, she acted as my protector, which just made her madder about my supposed inexperience.